The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is the instance.
Everybody, and welcome back to The Instance for Friday, December 11th. It's 2020, and this is episode 624. I'm Scott Johnson. I'm joined with and by Garrett Weinzierl. Hello, Garrett.
Wake me up when December ends. Wait, that's the wrong
ended.
Song.
It ended. Now you need November rain. Oh, wait, that ended too. We got any good December songs that aren't Christmas songs? Can't think of any.
No. No, nope. I got nothing. I got nothing. AFI has an album called December Underground. We could go with that.
Okay. You've sold me.
How are you with wearing eyeliner?
You know, it just really depends on the day. Today is not one of those days, but like tomorrow I could do some eyeliner, sure.
That was an extra rapid fire question for everyone. I hope you enjoyed.
Yeah, enjoy the bonus. I'm playing a little bit of Cyberpunk 2077 in the background, or not here now, but you know.
Oh, what is that game? Is that from some small indie developer?
You haven't heard of it, huh? Just new to you?
I've heard of this, it's definitely not been the only thing on my. Actually, that's a straight up lie. There's so much Star Wars junk announced yesterday that my feed's actually been overtaken with that instead of Cyberpunk. But. Yeah. Cyberpunk. We've been known to talk about other games besides World of Warcraft from time to time, and the top of the show is the place where we kind of catch up with one another. Are you liking it? I haven't gotten it yet.
Yeah, I am liking it. So I was able to play both a PC and an Xbox Series X version of the game. They're comparable. The Series X version is still technically the Xbox One version, but it runs it a lot better than the Xbox One does.
From what I've seen, that's not a high bar.
No, the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 versions of that game are freaking straight up broken, as far as I'm concerned. They look terrible and they run really bad.
I'm trying to think of things that came out at the end of the PS3 360 generation leading into the PS4 Xbox One generation, and I can't pull anything from my brain except Black Flag. And I remember playing Black Flag on my PS4 and then going over to my buddies, and he was playing on a PS3. And I was like, dude, your game looks like butt.
Yeah, it was a nice upgrade. And that's how this looks. That's actually a really good comparison, because it's not native to the X, meaning it's not taking advantage of anything. This is not the PS5 and Series X versions of the game aren't even out yet, technically. But if you buy it on those platforms, what you're basically buying is a backwards compatible version of the game that will run on your new console, but they also run them a lot better. So, I'm running it pretty much flawlessly on the Series X. I will say it looks a billion times. Well, not a billion times. It looks there is marked increase in quality on the PC with a good video card. So I'm trying right now at this point to decide where am I going to settle. And the only reason it's even a question is I got it on console thinking, well, I'll just sit on my butt on the couch and that's where I'll play this game, because that's where I like to play my, you know, games like this, single player, big RPGs. I kind of want to sit on the couch. I don't want to be hunched over my computer all day to play a game. So I'm going to do that.
Also, you have new hardware.
I have new hardware. Exactly.
You want to use your new hardware.
Even if
your computer. Yeah. People think I'm nuts. I'm the same way, man. I get it.
It's weird, right? Like, it's the whole controller thing with first-person shooters. People are like, I can't believe you can play a shooter with a controller. I do. Unless it's a competitive multiplayer shooter, and even then, sometimes, I'll still pull that controller out, even on the PC, because I just like how I like controlling shooters on controllers. I know there's a giant controversy out there, and people are going to make fun of me, and that's fine. You do you. But for whatever reason, especially when it comes to a game like this, where it's single-player focused... You know, like,
I don't understand how this is still a conversation.
People are weird.
We ended this with Halo. They figured it out. It's okay, everybody.
Will say this: Cyberpunk plays great with a mouse and keyboard, no problem. Like, it's a very good version on the PC with that as your default. But I still prefer a controller over there, just because that's how I like to play my single player games.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, man. It's sick. I play WoW on the couch sometimes.
Yeah, I wish I
have an old rig hooked up to my TV, and also I just recently upgraded my got a new laptop.
So. Oh, nice. Well done.
So, yeah.
How's that going?
Chilling on the couch. Oh, I dig it. I mostly got it just because I was sick of sitting in the office that I'm in 24/7 to write for my master's course I'm taking. But
That's a great point. And that's exactly where I'm coming from here. I don't necessarily, what's the old phrase? Don't shit where you eat. This isn't the same as that, but
That's definitely not it whatsoever, right. But I get where you're going.
But I don't want to be in front of the same screen all day that I also get work done every day. Like, it's just too much. So sometimes I just need a couch with some pillows and my feet up and a controller in my hand, and it's wireless and blah, blah, blah. So that's why I did that. But then someone very kindly donated a copy of the game unexpectedly to me on Steam. So now I feel obligated to do this sort of comparison, contrast sort of thing. And I will say, on some proper RTX hardware, that game looks real nice on PC, as do many other games. And it looks pretty good on a Series X. I'm getting 60 frames per second in performance mode. It looks great, plays great. Can't complain. I do look forward to the free upgrade to the enhanced version when it happens. They claim they're going to do that at CD Projekt Red. They're not going to make people buy this thing twice. So that's good. So you PS5 and Xbox Series X buyers should feel okay about grabbing that game right now. But if you're on a PS4 and a PS4 and an Xbox One, good freaking luck, dude. Go watch some streams and have your heart melted in half. And
go listen to Keanu Reeves talk about his giant wiener.
Yeah, he's got a giant wiener.
That's the only thing that stuck with me from all the hot takes I've heard about the game recently is that apparently Keanu Reeves likes talking about his wiener.
Well, you can also make a wiener. So when you
I heard there's a wiener slider.
There's a wiener. Well, it's three positions. It's medium. It's medium, small. It's medium, small, and large are your three options.
I'm glad that I can choose the size of my member the same way I choose how many fries I want at McDonald's. That's great.
Yeah, and it's if great. You supersize by here's the problem though. If you go big, there is a chance because there's screenshots.
Is that what you're gonna say?
There's screenshots and proof of this floating around in video form. But basically, there's a glitch in the game occasionally. Not everyone's seeing it, where your ding dong will hang out the side of your polygon pants. And,
that's great.
So you're just standing there in your full, get up, but your little doodle's hanging out the whole time, and that's pretty good.
And same thing. I say the same stuff about when WoW expansion launch. Obviously, I think Shadowlands, this is a bad example for Shadowlands, but when a WoW expansion launches and things break and everyone's complaining, I'm just like, dude, I'm so glad I was here for this. This is hilarious.
I know.
I'm going to have a story to tell for the rest of my WoW living life.
Right. 5 years from now.
Type of bug is so entertaining.
Yeah. Like 5 years from now, when everyone's calling it one of the greatest games they ever played, fine. But right now, like we were in 2015 when The Witcher launched, and we were like, oh my gosh, Geralt's head's missing in this scene. Or that lady's in T-pose and is floating around the world for no reason. Like, those are early jank days in big open world games are memorable and fun. Skyrim is one of the great examples, right? Like, yep. Thumbs up. Both my thumbs are way up. Anyway, I'm enjoying it, but I played more WoW than I played that. And we're going to talk more about it, starting with these side quests. All right, so played a ton of WoW. As you know, I said last week I was taking my time while all my friends were hitting 60 and moving on with their lives. I was very slowly moving through the world, not doing side quests, spending all my time doing main quest stuff, and then reading everything and just soaking it in. And I'm really glad I did. But I did ding 60 and finished Revendreth, got out of there, started all my paths toward endgame, including picking my covenant. I went with Nightfae. Because a couple of reasons. One, I just like the aesthetic of it. I also like their cosmetics for that particular group. I think the ones for some of the others are like downright weird looking and not great. I'm looking at you, Maldraxxus. Don't want to wear that stuff. Anyway, but also, if you're a druid, the power you get to basically fire off 12 or whatever it is, druid spells in rapid succession as a channeled spell, basically just fire them all off at once, is really amazing. It's like an explosion of abilities, and watching it happen is very exciting. It's only got a 2-minute cooldown, and in Torghast, you get all sorts of, time knockdowns on that thing, so you can get it down to like a minute 10 or whatever, and it just rips fools. And if you're in a real bad situation, it is an awesome get out of jail card because it looks amazing. Everybody around you is blown away by what they're seeing. Lots of lights and stuff going off. I love it. So it's basically a way to save yourself, especially in a boss fight or an elite fight, or to hurry things up. Because, sometimes those are going to take a while if you're playing solo or whatever. And I just save those things up to just tear through those guys. But if I get mobbed by like 6-7 mobs, which sometimes happens in Torghast or other places, popping that thing off is just like having your own nuke. It's amazing. I love it. So that's why I chose that.
Nice.
And I haven't seen any of the other pomp and circumstance around the other covenants in terms of when you go visit those dudes and see what all their stuff is. But I really liked what the Night Fae did. It was full of humor and all kinds of weirdness and stuff I didn't quite expect. I won't give it away, but all that amphitheater stuff was pretty trippy.
And oh, that was a blast.
Yeah.
So you went with Night Fae?
I did.
Because if you saw the amphitheater, you went with them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely went with them. Yeah, because I want that ability so bad I can taste it. Like, I just was like, well, Night Fae lets me blow everything up at once, so where do I go? Okay, great. I'll talk to the
I really liked their warrior ability, too, and that's why I went with them.
Okay, so we've gone down similar paths in that regard.
Yeah, I think we talked about this last week. It was the last covenant I thought I was going to join, but I had such a good time questing through there and using their abilities.
Yeah. Same. That was my big surprise of the expansion is how much I enjoyed that stuff. Because normally I'm like, all right, we'll get through the hippy dippy zone and I'll move on.
Also, I went and looked up what's good for a warrior. And it was real close to, I believe, Bastion's considered like the best if you're going to tank. But but Night Fae is pretty damn close. And so I was like, I'm going to go with Night Fae because I think it's more fun.
Yeah. Plus, I'm not a fan of the cosmetics on the Bastion side. I think they're weird.
I'm not really a fan of the cosmetics on Night Fae either. I don't mind the armor. Mm. I don't like that. I don't want butterflies or moths on my back, but the armor is okay. And I do like the mount, the starter mount's okay. The end mount that you can unlock is really cool. Looks like something straight out of a Princess Mononoke.
Oh, I'm
very much into that
big time. Yeah. I like that a lot. I will say this, the amphitheater stuff was handled really, really uniquely. And what I loved about that is it gave Blizzard an excuse to poke some serious fun at themselves regarding past boss encounters, how stories have ended up, how things get a little twisty with Warlords of Draenor, and we got a different version of Gul'dan to fight, and they just are nodding and winking and tongue-in-cheeking through that thing in a way that was really refreshing, because instead of being so self-serious about the story lines and twists in World of Warcraft, this gave them a chance to sort of laugh at some of how ridiculous it actually is, or how contradictory it is, or how there's like a time travel paradox happening or all that. I loved that whole bit. I thought that
was the certain character that was there that clearly missed a lot of the latter historical events and was in disbelief. That was a very nice touch.
That was really good. It was.
Have you unlocked the, when'd you hit 60?
We're
talking days, week?
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Okay. So you haven't had that much time. So have you unlocked your Anima Conductor yet?
Yeah. So I did. I went, that was the quest with the weirdo lady out in the mall, right? The freaking robot construct lady. What's her name? Didn't she give me that?
Oh, I don't think so. No, you just unlock the, pump Anima and back in your Covenant Sanctum down in the basement.
Oh, so I've done
One of the things you unlock down there is the conductor. And if you get that, you can turn the amphitheater back on and it gives you daily stuff to go do.
Oh, shit.
There.
I didn't know that. Okay. I can do that because I have the conductor. I didn't know that's what it was for.
If you power it, it spawns one of the theater bosses once per day for you, and you can get like loot out of it.
That's great. The other thing I loved about that, those fights are mini versions of the raids. It's so great. Yep. Like the shit on the floor, the dance you got to do, like it's not exactly to scale, but it's like the same. It's like all these little throwbacks to some really old stuff. Like the Illidan fight was basically the Illidan fight from Burning Crusade and from what the hell was that temple called?
Black Temple.
Black Temple. I almost said
Moon. What was that temple that was black?
But yeah, like that stuff, I don't know. I just really was tickled by that entire experience. And well done, Blizzard. I think that stuff was great. Didn't expect any of it. I thought I was just going to choose a covenant and off we go. Start doing world quests and let's get the Torghast runs going and let's get the weekly dungeon runs and all that. Like, I just kind of thought that was going to be it. And instead, it just took me by the hand and said, hey, what if we took you on a little more of a Disneyland ride here for the next couple hours? And it was nice. I really liked it.
It's good stuff, man. I'm digging.
Now I kind of want to see everyone else's, so now I have alt pressure a little bit too.
I hit Renown 9 today, I think.
Yeah, nice job. Well done.
Yeah.
That's pretty renowned. Like
right before we got on the show, so I actually don't. I know, unlocked something with one of my soul binds. I haven't gone and checked it though, but I think I got
fully,
a new.
You fully unlocked your rune carver guy, right? He's done for you.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, this week I crafted my first legendary.
Nice, well done. He's only half broken out for me. I got his one arm free. Now I got to go do the rest.
So. I guess it's a bit of a spoiler to say he's going to stay that way for a while.
Oh, yeah.
You can. Yeah, he's still half bound for me.
Oh, he is. Okay, so this doesn't free him completely when I hit those two quest markers that basically let me take it to the next level. So that makes
correct.
Sense. So he's ruined whatever he does for me. He's doing it with one hand. Well done. Well done.
Yep. Yep, it's probably somewhat shoddy workmanship, but we appreciate the effort.
But I love this freaking high fantasy bullshit with him. It's just so great. You walk in there and he's like, "My memory is not, you're not in my memory." Like just all this kind of like weird. I love it, man. I love it. He's so giant
and imposing and terrifying and yet pathetic and sad and tortured.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Like it's so well done.
It's really, really great.
This is like genre fiction that I love, man. Just creepy. Yeah.
These are the fantasy books I read.
Magic.
You know, like if I'm reading a fantasy book, give me some of this weird ass stuff that you don't even have to tell me how it all worked. I just want to be in awe of this world building. And they're doing some of that here. They don't have to explain everything. And I really like that a lot. So
same.
Well done, Blizzard. Well, you may be saying to yourselves, gee, Scott, this sounds like a lot of PvE you're talking about. And it is. It's entirely what I'm talking about. What about the PvPers out there? Well, Blizzard took to the forums and explained how PvP will work over the next couple of weeks and what kind of compression, what kind of progression they can expect. Or compression. I don't know. Maybe you have good compression. Anyway, Honor is the new currency. What is old is new again. Was introduced with the Shadowlands pre-patch. Players can earn honor from honorable kills, battlegrounds, epic battlegrounds, skirmishes, arenas, and rated battlegrounds. Honor can be spent to purchase gear from Purveyor Zokul in Ouroboros. This gear can be upgraded by Aggressor Zodash for honor. So you also the same thing with your with those points. It's a single currency, folks. The upper limit of this kind of upgrade is determined by your renown level, and players can hold a maximum of 15,000 honor. So that is a cap, but a high one. Conquest is an additional PvP currency. Players can earn conquest from battlegrounds, epic battlegrounds, arenas, and rated battlegrounds. Players can spend conquest to purchase gear from Zosorg in Ouroboros. These things have weird names. The gear can also be upgraded by that Zodash dude with armor or with honor points. And the upper limit of this upgrade is determined by your current highest rated bracket in arenas or rated battlegrounds. So if you're going to play unranked, you're going to get level 200 gear. If you're a combatant, 207, challenger, 203 or 213 rather, rival 220. And if you're a duelist, 226. So basically they also go through and break down how much conquest you can earn per week. And that sort of stuff. So if you want to find that out, you can. I'm not going to get into those details, but the important thing here is you should not have to wait for conduit upgrades. Conduits appear at higher ranks on the vendor automatically when your rating increases. So even if you didn't know you hit it, they'll remind you that you did. I like to give a little shout out to the PvPers once in a while. It's not a thing I do in WoW very much occasionally, but not that often. Y'all are getting taken care of. It looks like
I used to battleground a lot back in the day, but not so much in recent years.
Let's play a little fun game then. Favorite battleground of all time. What was your favorite?
Ooh, I mean, probably Arathi Basin, but I also really like Eye of the Storm, and some of my fondest memories were just hanging with my rogue buddy. We would just camp the bridge on Alterac Valley. I was on my hunter.
So good.
Yeah. And this was back when I was the first time I was playing Alliance, which is the first I was playing WoW. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't go anywhere. We would just camp the bridge and murder Horde like for the whole damn match. It was wonderful.
It was great. I love that one too. I would spend all my time throwing what do you call them? Flares over there to try to reveal idiots like you guys.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's because you
would
guys
sit in one of the towers, so I would just flare the doorway. So if a rogue tried to walk in, I would see him.
It was the whole there was a guarantee in that map or in that battleground that there would be a bunch of rogue dicks in it somewhere all the time, everywhere. So
that's you have to unlock that slider in Cyberpunk.
Yeah. Rogue dick. No, that's what it is when it pops out of your polygon pants.
Oh no, I've got a rogue dick.
What am I gonna do? Anyway, it's looking good for PvP. So if you were worried that you had to spend all your time grinding you against the world, no sir. You'll have all you need.
It's looking even better for gear in general, because Shadowlands has four new world bosses cycling through the world for you to take down for some loot upgrades. You probably won't miss them, although I did, due to the huge crowd turning out to take them down. But here they are anyway. Valinor, the Light of Eons, I don't know. Eons, Mortanis, yep. Aura Nomenos, the Ever-Branching, and Nurgash Muckform. Gotta say that one slowly, or I'm gonna get a explicit tag.
Nurgash Muckform, dude. Is there a cooler name in WoW? I don't think so. It's my new favorite.
That's going to be my Gwar cover band.
Yeah, see, that's what that is. In fact, that whole zone, man, now that I think about it, Maldraxxus is just a Gwar concert, right?
It needs a little more like gore and like gross out factor, but sure.
Yeah, but then sure, it needs to be the Gwar. The whole thing with Gwar is it never really freaks you out because it's just kind of cheesy. Like,
yes.
You know what I mean? So
it is gross, though.
Yeah, that's pretty
gross. Even though, like, it's like, oh, that's just corn syrup. I can just, like, smell the funky old Halloween store latex, like, looking at a photo of Gwar.
Yeah. But, yeah, you're not wrong.
Anyways, you want to go drop these fools, because they all drop 207 gear.
So you going to go do that today? There. You going to get out there today and get your upgrade?
I mean, if you start talking for a while, I might just log in during the show and go get some 207 gear.
I mean, look, I wouldn't blame you. That's how. I mean,
so by all means, if you want to go into monologue, Scott, pay no attention to the fact that I am being really quiet.
Yeah, it's like Patrick getting his seasons done in Overwatch while we do the show. It's a little bit like that. Well, speaking of things happening in World of Warcraft, something happened outside of the game that is pretty significant. World of Warcraft Shadowlands became the fastest selling PC game of all time, clocking in at a whopping 3.7 million copies sold pre-launch. That is a huge number. This took down the last winner, which was Blizzard's own Diablo 3 in 2012, which took in 3.5 million copies sold. Now, there's some confusion as to whether those Diablo... my understanding is those Diablo numbers were also pre-launch, and the Shadowlands numbers are definitely 3.7 million copies, digital or otherwise, pre-launch. Uh-huh. But some have said, well, I think that's all time for Diablo. I don't think so. I think Diablo's all time is somewhere in the 20 million. Like, it's a huge number. So anyway, there may be some confusion out there, and some of the sites that are reporting the news have acknowledged that. But the one thing I wanted to point out is there is no word on how well the game that we were just talking about, Cyberpunk, did over the last week as a pre-sold product to compare with these Shadowlands numbers. I'd be very curious about that, because some people are saying that is the single biggest selling game in 15 years. So
Cyberpunk has officially, as of 8 hours ago, beat Shadowlands as the fastest selling PC game.
Wow. What'd it take, 4 days?
3 weeks.
3 weeks? Well, I mean...
3 weeks.
They held... Oh, yeah, 3 weeks. They held
Between the release of the titles.
That's just a bummer, though. They only held the title for just a little bitty time. That's a bummer.
It's not a bummer. You know what this is? You know what this is, Scott?
What?
I'm going to glass half full of this. This is a good damn time to be a PC gamer. That's what this is.
I agree. It is a great time to be a PC gamer. And here's the thing. Like, they broke that record, I assume, on just their PC sales, right? They're not counting console in that number, I hope. Because if that's the case... Let's say they say total of 4 million. Well, that may not mean the PC side of it got as many as these other PC exclusive games, at least at the time. Diablo wasn't on consoles then. And of course, WoW has never been anywhere but on your Mac or your PC. So I assume that they're comparing comparable numbers. And if that's the case, congratulations, Cyberpunk and CD Projekt Red, for taking the top spot a few weeks after it was taken by Blizzard. But anyway... impressive numbers all around.
By the way, via VG247.com, which is also citing GameIndustry.biz.
Oh, okay, there you go. It's impressive, though. News. Think about a 15-year-old game getting the record number of pre-sales for any PC game ever is a pretty big deal. And I know I'm not, you know, the game's not exactly, it's not like it's a 15-year-old game with a little patch that happened in 2020. Well,
if I'm not mistaken, fastest is specifically like a lot of units moved in a short amount of time, and not necessarily total units moved.
Right. Good point. Someone says, let's see, Armelian in the chat put a link in where it was confirmed 4.72 million copies of of Cyberpunk and that's just PC sales. So
that is nutty.
Massive amounts. That's well done, guys, I guess. Well done. All right.
Congratulations, everybody. Yeah.
Congratulations on all sides of this weird world we live in.
Thank you for giving us more hours gone from our days.
Yeah, like we have time for this. Whatever, I'll make time. All right, check this out. We got to talk about Torghast. We have to have a real honest sit down, heart to heart, about Torghast. Easily or arguably the biggest feature of this expansion that was not an already feature in the game. I want to say right off the top, now that I've had my fun in there for at least one of my four or five runs total, I think, in Torghast, some for quests, I was just in there, just wanted to do it.
I'm still waiting for you to accidentally call it fart gas.
Fart gas. I might, now that you've said it. Well done. But anyway, I really like it. Like, I think it's rad. I find it compelling. It moves me forward. As far as, like, its structural components of move forward, kill a bunch of dudes, glowy thing pops. Ooh, sweet. I've got a new affix. Okay, great. Now I'm moving forward to this affix, and I've got, you know, plus this to that, and it's great, and I can see the difference, and so on and so forth. I really like that. I already really like this sort of thing in the form of lots of other video games, mostly roguelikes, where a similar sort of progress is what you're looking for. And in particular, like a game like Slay the Spire is very much like this, structurally speaking. But I'm playing WoW, and I love that, and it's great. However, I have a couple of questions and problems with it that I want to discuss with you. Most of it has to do with stuff I think can be tweaked and tuned. But I'll start with the number one thing, which is I think the runs themselves are just too long, and they get worse the higher level you go. The better rank you are, the worse it gets. And by long, I mean like, well, I spent about 48 minutes in the last run I was in. It's a pretty long run. And I guess I have to couple that with the other complaint that the rewards aren't necessarily commensurate with time spent. So you've got your, great, you get your soul ash, you got a little bit of loot here and there in the form of maybe some gold or whatever. You've collected the currency that you can spend while still in Torghast. But at the end of the day, I don't think those rewards are equal to the time I'm spending in there. I would love to see some gold and maybe more of it. I would like to see maybe some gear drops, make them equivalent to what I might get if I was spending my time world questing, and those, whatever they're at right now, 200 or whatever, I don't know what gear level they are right now, but when those things drop out there, maybe have there be a percentage chance of them dropping while I'm in Torghast. Instead, it's just really a soul ash grab and the fun of being there, but when it's over, you're like...
Did you grab my ash?
I grabbed your ash. And then I pinched your ash really hard. Oh, hi.
I was wondering who that was.
Sorry, my wife just... Wow, this looks great. What's this? Turkey or something? Sorry, my wife brought me food mid-show. Isn't this amazing? Holy crap. Okay.
Did you bring enough to share with the class?
Yeah, did you bring any for Garrett? Do you have any? Okay. All right. Digital beans for you.
I'll settle for bleach toner, since I know you like dyeing your hair, Kim.
Yeah, I'll let her know. She left now. But anyway, so everything I like about it is only hindered by this feeling that I'm in there for a long time. So there's an investment, but the payoff is not equal to that investment. And I'm not saying I need constant, you know, and I don't want to overtune it either. I don't want to make it so that's just this place people grind out to get free stuff. I don't want that either. I know there's a sweet spot though, and I just don't think they're hitting it yet. Thoughts at least that far into this conversation? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Like, where are you?
It's interesting. I'm more or less on the same page as you. But my focus hasn't been as much on where my brain naturally went and has stayed after I've run quite a bit of Torghast. Let's see. I hit 60 Friday of not last week, but the week before.
Yeah.
So I didn't cap my ash. I got some, but I didn't hit the cap, which is why I didn't craft my legendary until this week. I was a little behind.
Yeah.
But since then, I have capped my ash. Okay. I've capped it. I capped it last week. I capped it this week. And this week I did it solo. So I soloed like the highest level we can currently do in both wings, the standard wing, and then what's it this week? Cold Heart.
Yeah.
Interstitia.
Yeah.
Which is my favorite post-hardcore band of 2002. Oh, I saw them open for Thursday once. It was great.
Sure.
but my brain has gone to it just takes too long. And so what the place I've been inhabiting mentally as the improvement I would like to see made is like I just want it to be faster.
Yeah.
Because to me, that is a core part of roguelikes. I guess at least roguelikes I enjoy. Mm-hmm. Like especially Hades right now. Hades feels fast paced and breakneck speed. And yeah. Torghast feels plodding and slow.
It's like solo raid night is what it is. A little
bit. As a matter of fact, that's exactly and World of Warcraft kind of has this feeling, but I feel like we could alleviate that in Torghast. Like, I don't know. I want either me or the enemies to die faster.
Yeah.
I want both of us to just be more volatile.
Yeah.
Like I want things to die quick and I want to die quick. I don't want to have because granted so last week I was having a hell of a time and I did some duos. I went in with a friend to cap my Soul Ash last week because I was doing Fury, and then a bunch of instance listeners on Twitter were like, what are you doing? You idiot, go Prot. Yeah. And so I went Prot and also this week I got my first legendary and I went with a protection warrior. I went with what's it called? Thunderlord, I believe. It's a big thunderclap, a legendary effect. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I just feel like a god. I destroyed. I absolutely wrecked. Like, so I went from last week barely making it work with a friend to this week running through alone, no problem. But it does take a while.
Yeah.
And so I just feel like, I don't know. Like, there are times where I feel in danger, but it's usually because I bit off slightly more than I could chew. It's usually on me and not necessarily on Torghast.
Yeah. Tends to be
I don't know. I wouldn't be mad if they were like, "Hey, you've got a chance to get some gear." Mm-hmm. Like that'd be sweet. Sure, why not? I found I think two or three legendary recipes while running through Torghast, which is vaguely exciting, but it's not like we can just be ripping new legendaries left and right. You got to get Soul Ash and it's a precious commodity.
Right.
So it's not that exciting. To get a legendary recipe, it's cool. It's nice. Like, oh, I got to collect all the Pokemon, even though I can only carry six around Kanto with me. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of that going on too. But I don't know. Like to me, I want it to be like World of Warcraft, like on triple speed. That's what I want Torghast to feel like. And instead, it kind of just feels like World of Warcraft at current speed with cool abilities. But even on my best runs, when I've gotten like the most insane combination of abilities, it still takes a while. It doesn't feel like I move any quicker, regardless of how powerful I've become.
Mm-mm. No, it's still, and you start to realize after a while, you're just basically on one long randomized trash run.
And yeah. Well, no, it's because it ends at six, which is another part of it. I wouldn't mind the plotting so much if it was endless, but the fact that there's like an endpoint. It's like, let's just go. Let's speed this up. What are we doing? I can get through dungeons quicker than this.
Yeah. So I really truly believe that this is probably the overall feeling for most everybody, and they'll tune it. I have confidence that they'll tune it in a way that'll just make that feel better. This is a really hard balance. It's also kind of undescribable and undefinable. This feeling we're looking for. You got to balance a lot of stuff to make that feel right. And
yeah,
this is a first stab, and they've been testing it forever, but I think that now's the time for a real world tuning to get, we'll start to see big patch notes where they go, all right, the team has been working hard on this and we've done this and we're going to see some changes. So I'm very hopeful for that because I like my time in there and I want to be in there a lot because I like the feeling of it. But the diminishing returns are going to start happening quick on, well, I'm not getting much out of it for the time I'm investing. And if that's the feeling overall, then I can't do it as much. I just won't be able to.
Yeah. So. And I really like it too. Like you kind of led with, do you have any critiques? And so those are my critiques. But I am really enjoying it and I like it with people and I like it solo. I don't think I've ever liked tanking alone. I don't think I've ever liked being in Prot Spec by myself this much.
Mm-hmm. That's an unusual place to be and an unusual feeling to have, for sure.
Prot Warrior in Torghast feels a little overtuned, and I fear a nerf coming.
Yeah.
But So take all of that into the comments as well, because that's what I'm playing when I solos for Torghast. But like I'm enjoying it. It's just, I don't know. I want to feel empowered to take more risks, because I want to feel like, oh damn, I died. Sweet, let's get in and do it again. What am I gonna get this time? I'm gonna make it this time. But if I did die right now, I would feel like there was just a crap ton of time that was wasted.
Well, here's purely
as opposed to being excited to just dive back in again.
Sure. Here's purely art guy coming in the room. I'm gonna just say this too. This is my only other real complaint that isn't that much of a complaint. But I would like it. I wish it was a little more aesthetically diverse, because it's just really these cold hallways. Okay,
sweet.
You know what I mean? Like I like,
I don't, and that's why I'm excited, because I finally disagree with you.
I like a cold, dark hallway. I do. I like gothic, spiky shit. I like everything to look like it was made by, you know, Warcraft Satan himself, I guess, the jailer. I like that motif. I like the blue smoke, blue fire. Like, that stuff's cool, but I just wish it was a little more mixed up, like a little more, just throw in some different motifs just to kind of break things up a little bit, which is another hallmark of a good roguelike, especially one where it's a lot of static screens like Slay the Spire. You still, at least you feel like you're advancing, because like, oh, this room's a cave. Oh, this is like some kind of castle. Oh, ugh. Like I'm not asking for like, you know, the ultimate in variety. I just think a little splash of color in there wouldn't hurt. You know what I mean? Just a neat. So tell me why you disagree.
Because it just looks like I'm running around ice crowned constantly, and what's not to love?
I knew you were going to say that, because it's freaking cold. You can tell it's like 10 degrees in there, and it's just like the shittiest.
I'll say this. Like if we know they're eventually going to make some updates to Torghast, right? Like I would not mind if one of the updates was, and now we've got like 10 new designed rooms that you could randomly come across and they look different.
Yeah.
Cause there's like one like lava room, but like, it's just the opening hallway and the rest of it is kind of the same old stuff.
Yeah.
And it really stands out.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of being an Arthas fanboy more than legitimately disagreeing with you. I wouldn't mind. I don't want to go too far. I don't want it to be like, now you're an Ardenweald for no good damn reason except to make things interesting. Like, I like how it ties into the lore.
Yeah.
Not all Torghast rooms are created equal. There's a few of them that are insane looking. They look amazing, and there's amazing like skylight, you know, atmospheric perspective stuff going on. But a lot of them do kind of have like your standard Torghast. It's like, it's like visiting a Walmart in a different county. It's like, I mean, it's a little different, but
yeah,
but I kind of know the lay of the land.
Well, surely this is not, it's much easier for me to say, hey, shake it up, than it is to do it. We're talking about a procedural randomness they've never really done in the game before. And I guarantee this is the quickest way to launching the thing, is having a standardized look to everything so that you can do your randomization and not have it look weird. But, you know, just a little something. Just hang something.
I ran into the enemy randomization is kind of cool, though, because I ran into some evil Bastion stewards.
Oh, that's cool.
They were about four times the size of the little swolekin that you're used to seeing in Bastion, and they had red eyes. And it was just like, oh God, I don't want to fight that.
I like that a lot. Like that. See, I haven't run anything like that yet, and I'm happy to hear. I mean, I've seen some once in a while. I run into a weird formation, or a bunch of those little hands are doing something real funky. Those walking hands. But for the most part, it's kind of been the same enemies. So to hear that is very exciting. I'm excited about that. That's good to hear.
The standard enemy fare, I feel like, are always there. But then you get a mix in of these like garnish enemies that are randomized. And it's cool. But yeah, I don't, it's a mixed bag for me. I think more than anything else in Shadowlands, I have the most kind of criticisms and hope for change in Torghast. But I think it comes from a place that I am legitimately interested in this. I am enjoying it. There's just strange things that stick out to me. And when I think of like how it's basically replacing Island Expeditions, I'm like, holy crap, they knocked it out of the park. This is so much cooler.
So much better. Yeah.
But I still would like to, I really want them to like get their hands back in this and start really molding it into something truly special.
Do you make sure to break all the pots that are in the rooms and stuff? I do every single
one. Yeah, since I'm trying to only do two runs a week now and just run the highest level one and go, yeah, I try to get as much power as I possibly can so I can easily beat the final boss.
Same. Plus, I just like, I don't know, I'm a fan of action RPGs, Diablo likes, that will let me break shit in the room. So it's nice to have WoW decorations that are actually destructible. That's usually not a thing WoW is known for. So it's just a little tiny thing, but I like it. I like being able to.
How many times have you tried to break the pots out in the actual maw zone?
I mean, because I keep doing it because they're the same damn model, so I assume they're going to break, but they don't.
They don't. Yeah, I do it at least once a day. I'm out in the maw. I'll be next to some pots, and I'm like, "Yeah, thunder stomp," and I'm just like, "Oh, right.
Yeah, nothing.
Those are made of concrete.
They're made of all this hellstone or whatever I'm walking on, but yeah, it's pretty neat. I guess I have a question about a thing that I could easily look up, but I was too lazy today to do it. I'm doing enough stuff in the maw where the eye of the jailer is getting, that little thing up top is getting worse. So you're there long enough and eventually you get a couple eyes on you and you're being hunted and all that. What does that ultimately do to me? Cause I don't actually know. Every time I get right up to the edge, I go somewhere else and it clears it. And he's not watching me anymore.
Well, like, it clears once a day. It doesn't clear because you zoned out. If you went back,
it'd still be there.
It'd still be that. Yeah, it doesn't clear until the next day.
Gotcha.
Well, each level does something different. The first one is the floating eye dudes will attack you on sight. The second one is you'll just start getting bombarded randomly.
Oh,
permanently. So it's until the next day.
Okay, so it's stuff that happens in the world, and I'll just have to fight off crap while I'm in the maw.
Yeah, it'll like, you'll see ground effects, and like mortars will rain down on you for the rest of the day permanently. It doesn't matter how many times you leave and come back.
It's a weird way of gating that content, don't you think? Like, hey, don't spend too much time in the maw, or we'll make your life hell. Make sure you're not.
Yeah, and it's not. I don't believe there's any time concern in regards to it. When you kill things and you complete quests, that's what ups your threat. You know, it's kind of like a wanted level in Grand Theft Auto.
BMI 55 in the chat says it gives you a dot at the max level. I don't know
what the max. I haven't seen the dot. So the first pip is the eyes attack you. The second pip is the bombardment. The third pip is the assassin. So if you get there, you'll get eyes over your head.
Yeah.
And that means the next time you get into combat, an assassin's going to show up behind you and start fighting you. And so like, you're guaranteed to have a bare minimum 2v1 anytime you start fighting something. Kind of annoying.
Is that their way of just driving you back to doing world quests and getting the hell out of Dodge? Like, I don't understand the point of that exactly.
The point is to make the maw a scary place. It's not supposed to be easy to hang in the maw. They don't want you just like chilling and farming ore, or whatever it is you're farming out there. And then the fourth pip, which is as far as I've gotten, is the evil Valkyr just come down out of the sky and pick you up, and they'll just keep going and drop you to your death if you don't kill them fast enough.
Oh, you got to kill them while you're in their claws? Like,
yep.
I'm not gonna be able to do that very well.
Yeah, that one, I got to that point twice. The first week I was doing the maw, and that was scary. That was a lot of damn.
That's awful, man. Holy crap. Yeah. All right. Well, now I know what to do with it, because I had the eyes on me, which I'm sure meant weird stuff was happening, but I was in Torghast so much it didn't really matter, because it goes away when you're in there. It doesn't go away, but, you know, doesn't affect you while you're in Torghast.
As you up your rep with Venari, who is the broker lady in there, with Anna's voice actor.
Oh, that's cool.
Just sounds awesome. Such a cool voice to attach to this character. But as you up your rep with Venari, you're going to be able to buy items that permanently improve certain aspects of being in the maw. So like, you can permanently get rid of that assassin pip with one of the items, but you have to be, I think, honored with her.
Okay. That's rad.
Or maybe friendly. I don't remember. I just hit the first level, and so I could buy a bunch of stuff. So I now have a teleport. I can teleport out to the first kind of far away fortress you go to.
Yeah.
Now I have a direct port there, and I also have like a hook shot. Like, there's anchor points all around the maw for me now.
And that lady is the one with the folks with no legs who like do running competitions. They have those like bowed fake feet things.
Yeah, and they get the flame for a head.
That's her. Okay.
Yeah, they're called brokers.
Yeah, Brokers.
That
race, it's
called Brokers.
Yeah, I don't trust her.
Yeah, that's Venari, and it's an honest voice actor, and I just love her to death. I like, I'm just like, yes, please like me. A, because the stuff you sell actually makes it bearable to be here, but also I just love this character.
Yeah, I like her too, but she it seems untrustworthy in some major way for me, and I don't know why. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see if she screws me in the end.
Her charm.
Yeah, I suppose. Chat room reminds us, who is this here? R. Kudala says, final boss in the current raid drops a ring that will reduce the eye of the jailer stuff. So that's
cool. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Which is Denathrius himself, right? It's Sire Butthole that you have to kill.
Yeah.
He's the final boss, so he'll drop it.
Do you kill him, though, Scott? Here's that's the my question.
Yeah, not kill him. Defeat him. I'm sorry.
Does he die is the question.
Probably not. That place, dude. Can I just talk for a quick second about everything to do with Revendreth. So I really enjoyed my time in there, but everybody's like, you've got to be the neighbor there. Like, it's all just like this high and mighty freaking bun-headed vampire bullshit in there. And they were starting to piss me off, if I'm honest. Everybody is
not
so
not an Anne Rice fan, I see.
No, I am not, actually.
Oh, man, Interview with the Vampire is my shit. I love
it's
it.
Okay, it's all right.
I love Revendreth to death. I love how completely opposite ends of the spectrum for races we absolutely love in World of Warcraft, you and I are. Because you're like, I like orcs and shoddy craftsmanship and Kodo poo all over everything. And I'm like, I like opulence and perfect hair and snooty high-end accents.
You're right. I don't know what that is, but we definitely... We have different tastes in these characters. I would play, though. Here's what's funny. If we end up getting an allied race out of the Revendreth, I'd be those people. They're cool looking.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I wouldn't do the big freaking Bram Stoker buns on my head or any of that bull crap. No way.
Oh, God, then you would be doing it wrong.
Oh, it's
Scott.
So
I'm
stupid.
Sorry.
Oh,
I'm
I hate
so sorry.
It. What's his name? Who's the guy? Lord Chamberlain, that guy? Couldn't
what?
The guy in the game who you talked to early, who was in the car or was in the carriage with you when
the guy you fought. Yeah. Oh yeah, that guy's the worst.
He's the worst, dude.
He is the absolute worst.
Oh, I hate him so much.
Yeah.
But I also
like, just like that zone is just chef's kiss. It's so wonderful.
I don't know.
Love Revendreth. It's the covenant I wanted to join, but I wanted to focus more on tanking as a warrior instead of damage, and their ability is really damage focused.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm picking like memorable characters that really stuck in my head, Lord Chamberlain is number one.
Is that his name? Is his name actually Lord Chamberlain?
Yeah, I think it's Lord Chamberlain. Something Chamberlain, isn't it? I think so.
Okay. That seems so...
I'm Lord Chamberlain, and as you can see...
That was his name. Wow, that's just so basic.
The master requires me for fair purpose. So fluffy McDuffie, man.
I figured it would have been like Lord Chamberlaxius.
with an apostrophe in there somewhere.
Whatever.
But one of the things I really like about the game in general is there's some very memorable characters across the board, but that one really sticks out for me. The girl goat human, I forgot her name, in Ardenweald, who is so upset that all this stuff's going down. I don't know who voice acts for that character, but I thought
she was Naya.
Is it Naya? That might be it. Or Nyla?
Yeah, Naya stuck with me too. She becomes one of your followers.
She's great, dude. She's great. She sold me. Her entire performance sold me on that character. Like, I believed that she was just devastated by what was going on. And normally that stuff just sort of falls flat for me, but that did not. She was freaking awesome.
Man, I just love those character models because they look like they're straight out of the Hellboy sequel that is just Guillermo del Toro faintly trying to make a Hellboy movie, but mostly just wanting to do his own crazy character designs.
Yeah, that thing was the most del Toro of all his mainline work.
It was the best Blood Elf movie we'll ever get.
There were Blood Elves in it. The guy that was like hitting drops of water with his staff in the sewer or whatever. That's a cool movie. I like
that. Looked more of Warcraft than the Warcraft movie to me.
I like two. Two is a... I liked it better.
Two
than
is
one.
A fun movie, man. Yeah. I like Hellboy 2.
I like Hellboy 2 a lot.
I haven't seen the reboot.
No, me either. I heard it was terrible, and I kind of just didn't get around to it.
It didn't look like it was going to do much for me. So
yeah. Well, anyway,
okay. So Naya's a soulbind, not a follower.
Oh, she's
so
okay.
You should. I believe she's the one you start with.
I think
with,
she already is. I think I've already got her as a soulbind. Like
yeah.
That part's
you should
done.
Be soul. You should be soulbound as we speak.
But I just anytime I just see her, the way they gallop, the sort of side single foot gallop thing they do, that particular race of.
The first time I saw it, I was like, this is kind of goofy. And then like later on when you're like rolling out with your squad of like 40 of them, I'm like, never mind. I love this. This is cool. Perfect. This was the best decision.
It's really cool. So
just
anyway.
Squad goals with your goat folk.
Yep. Goat folk. Love it. It's very good. The game's great. I'm really happy to say that thus far things are awesome. Often we say this in an expansion that sours later, but I'm not feeling that here yet at all. So get in, folks. And also, like everything I've talked about, everything we've talked about on the show, they've never made the game more approachable by somebody who's either coming back from a really long time or starting fresh. Like, you can do this thing by starting a character in Exile's Reach, cranking that out, learning your class like you never have before, and then bam, phase two, you play an expansion you feel like playing. And then you do that till 50, and then you jump right into this, and this is not that long. Like, stick to the main quest,
and you're
through
it
right away.
And it's fun to go through. It's a good,
it's great
linear narrative.
It's the most fun I've had questing in the game, straight up. And I have a lot of nostalgia for questing. It's my favorite part of the game, but this really stood out. Like, I just don't know that this has been much better than this in retail.
I think this is the most I've enjoyed questing since Wrath of the Lich King.
For me, Pandaria, same.
Specific. Oh, that's. I'm sorry. Yeah, Pandaria was amazing. Sorry. No, this is 100% the best questing since Pandaria for me. You're
Pandaria
right.
Was
you're
strong.
Absolutely right.
It was really strong questing stuff. God, and actually, really so like good. Questing and Warlords, honestly. It's just Warlords just kind of fell flat after you were done. But this stuff is good. And everything since then, I'm like, oh, there's more. There's more. It didn't just end there. Normally, it just sort of ends and you're off to do vague endgame. But now
I'm staying positive with this, like, because, and I think it's easy to compared to BFA, because, like, none of the systems that are here, you know, critiques about Torghast aside, concerns that, you know, maybe they'll buff or nerf some Covenant powers, you're going to feel forced to switch Covenants and it's going to be a pain. You know, those sorts of concerns aside, none of the systems feel inherently unfixable or devoid of actual function the way that Azerite armor did in BFA.
I agree.
Like it felt out the gate like, oh, this isn't going to work, and there is clearly not an obvious way to fix it.
Yeah. Islands were that for me. That was the biggest bummer of that expansion.
I'm really happy with the systems in Shadowlands. So it's like they clear the hurdle of the systems aren't going to completely just kind of kill the trajectory of the expansion. And then the expansion itself and its story it has to tell and the aesthetic and the design, that's all just out of the park as far as I'm concerned.
I agree. So let's hope it holds while we do something goofy called...
It's a good one, man. Like, I guess WoW is in every other year. That's WoW expansions.
Yep, it's like Star Trek movies.
Or not every other year, every other expansion.
Every other expansion. It's a Star Trek movie paradigm.
With the exception of when it kicked off, because like Vanilla, BC, Into Wrath was just all awesome.
That's true. Whereas Star Trek... literally started with bad, then went to Wrath of Khan, which is great. 3 was bad, 4 was good.
That first Star Trek movie is unwatchable. I don't know how anyone gets through that.
I can't do it either.
I love Wrath of Khan. I'm not a Star Trek fan. Wrath of Khan's amazing.
Wrath of Khan's
but
a great
that
movie.
Star Trek 1 is, oh.
It's pretty good. V'ger and a naked hairless lady and Spock in a chair floating in space. It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. No, it's not. It's really bad. Mm-hmm. All right, now this. Time for us to play Crapid Fire Questions. I almost said Crapid Fire, but I don't mean it that way.
You did say Crapid Fire.
Yeah, it was an accident. This is Rapid Fire Questions. It's just a dumb thing we do where we get to ask goofy questions of each other that were generated by you. And big thanks to everybody who sent their questions in. I'm going to start with this one for Garrett from Rumpelstomp, a.k.a. Schnago on Whisperwind. He says, least favorite toe?
Oh, little one on my left foot. I stub it more than any other part of my body.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I definitely 100% of it. It's the only bone I've ever broken.
Have you ever stubbed anything but a toe? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you like stub your elbow. I guess you usually would call it jamming your finger, but you're essentially stubbing your finger.
That's true. You're stubbing it like in a basketball game or something. Yeah. You stub your finger.
I definitely like stubbing. I'm like, I stubbed my elbow.
That makes sense.
Stub your knee? You never stubbed your knee?
Yeah, I have. Well, I mean, I actually cracked my knee once when I was a kid. Still hurts. Yeah, still hurts. When it rains or it snows, I feel it in that knee. For real. The pressure right here. Just,
wow, that's the oldest man thing I've ever heard.
I know,
you say.
It's like, I got the rheumatism. I can feel the storm coming.
Oh, there's a storm coming. I can feel it in my cracked knee.
All right, next question is, whoops, hold on, there it is. All right, next question is from Drew Torius on Blade's Edge. I think is how you say his name. If you had any in-game toy themed after your character, what would you call it? He says, of course, the correct answer is Guapo Garrett's Promade, or Pomade, rather. So he's already got an idea there. But what do you think the true answer is?
Does this person listen to the WoW Killer? Because I literally workshopped this on WoW Killer this week.
Probably.
100%. We got an email where people were like, hey, everyone else on the instance has an item. So I know you're like, oh, WoW Killer gets so much mentioned on the instance, but the instance gets mentioned on WoW Killer all the time. And we got an email that was like, hey, everybody else in the instance has an in-game item. When's Garrett getting his? Also, Tally, what would you like yours to be?
Yeah.
And I workshopped this and I said I want it to be like Garrett's famous pomade, and I want it to be like an item or a piece of gear. I want it to be a toy, and I want, when you right click it, it randomly gives you a different haircut.
Oh, I love that idea.
That's what I want. If I could have my own perfect in-game reference, that's what I would want.
That would be totally doable too as a toy. That's perfect. In fact,
maybe it makes your hair sparkle, you know, if they don't want to change.
Patrick does not have an in-game item that I'm aware of.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I'm sorry.
I think it's just me and the other guys, the old guys. I think they had them. Yeah. But you can still find GURPS Perfect Arrow sometimes. It'll just drop off some random mob.
I think my hunter has it. I didn't get rid of it. It was just like, I'm just going to hold on to this.
Yeah, well, there you go. All right, next up, Kit London says, what is your favorite childhood cereal, and did you read the back of the box while eating it?
I still eat it from time to time. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is the correct answer. There is no better cereal.
Are you my kids? You're my kids. Like, that's all they want. They're growing up, and now they're like, oh, I could sure go for a big bowl of freaking Cinnamon Toast Crunch. That stuff is terrible.
It's perfect. Ugh. What? What is your favorite, like, child, like, kitty sweet cereal?
Probably Honeycomb, I think. I loved Honeycomb.
Wow. You know, Scott, I am a firm believer to each their own, but you are just so wrong.
It's too sweet. Like, plus, you smell like little kids' onesie,
like,
pajamas.
The war is between Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Captain Crunch. Those are the two, like, warring factions of the cereal wars.
All right. Have you ever been around?
Somewhere... in like neutral Switzerland is Honeycomb, where no one's even interested in what they have to bring to them. I have arrived very close friends who are Swiss.
You got to be careful around the Swiss. They'll get you. But I get it. I understand what you're saying. Yeah. But have you ever been around adolescent children who have been at a sleepover and they all wore one piece pajamas and they all come back smelling like waffles for some reason? All those kids smell like waffles.
I mean, I've been a kid who's gone to a sleepover. I didn't definitely go in a onesie.
Okay. Because the reason I asked...
Who sends their kid off to a sleepover when they're young enough to be wearing a onesie?
Well, we never did the sleepover thing anyway, so this is a bad example. But kids have this tendency to just smell like pee and waffles all the time. Because they're dirty kids. That's just kids. And so that, to me, is the smell of Cinnamon Toast Crunch for some reason. And I can't deal with it.
I love Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
All right, next up. Salura says, she's in the chat today, on Sisters of Valoon, what is your honest opinion of the jailer's wardrobe? You support his preference for wearing a nice pair of comfortable slacks. What do you think of that?
I haven't mentioned this because, I don't know, I don't always love giving honest opinions if they're not positive to art design, but I don't think the jailer is a good character design.
I'm not entirely.
I think he's a real generic looking baddie.
Yeah. I'm not. I think
of an expansion that has some of the coolest art design in the history of World of Warcraft, I think the jailer looks a little phoned in to me.
There's something about his face that I'm trying not to be too judgy here of anyone's face, but since this is a fake CGI character, I think I can do it. But there's something about his face where I just am like, he looked like just some chode in my wrestling class in high school. Like, he just looks like some idiot who just happens to now be the jailer and have a bunch of power.
It looks like evil Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, there's a chin thing, maybe.
I don't think he translates as well into an in-game model. His full CG version, like, is scary and terrifying and looks like it's straight out of Diablo.
Yeah.
But then you get into World of Warcraft where things are much more, like, illustrative looking. Yeah, like, all the, especially since their textures have gotten better, they look like Photoshop paintings.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing. But I think it just doesn't make the jailer look very menacing. I think he looks kind of doofy.
Like a handsome Squidward, says Grimlock 9183.
You're not wrong. He kind of has the handsome Squidward thing going on. I don't know. Like, it's just, it doesn't hit what I like about WoW aesthetics, man. Like, first of all, why is he barefoot? Like,
I don't know. You
want to make someone look not scary, make them barefoot.
Gosh, I love that reference, though. It's so good. Handsome Squidward is freaky.
He looks like he's going for a stroll on the beach, I think is my, like, where's your shirt? Where's your shoes? Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? What is your
He's a roller skate away from the Venice Beach.
Good call. Here is your second to last question from Chassie Nass on Kill Jaden, I think is how their name is said. Anyway, longest time spent in game in one sitting. So longest time you ever played WoW without getting up. Just go.
Oh god. I don't know the exact amount of time off the top of my head, but Wrath of the Lich King, Cataclysm. Wrath of the Lich King, Cataclysm. Both times I stayed up, I just didn't go to sleep until I was max level.
Yeah, I feel like that was around the same time as me.
So I was up for at least 48 hours for both of those expansions. Gosh,
I don't think I've done that.
Mists of Pandaria, I did not do that because I was an adult with a job.
Yeah, I think I may have in the alpha and beta, which was 03. My son was 3 years old and had a horrible time sleeping then for whatever reason, had nightmares all the time. So I remember nights where he would just be up and wanted to sit on my lap and watch me play. And that's probably the longest we'd go, where it'd be like 12 hours of just
keeping him entertained. That's adorable.
Yeah, it was great.
That's the cutest binge session I've ever heard of.
It's a long time ago. He is a can't fit on my lap now. He's 20 years old. That's how old we all are, everyone.
I used to like bank instance episodes for expansion launches.
Oh, very nice. Okay, now your final question is a big one. John wrote in, says, pub, sub, or Wawa?
Wawa sucks. Wawa is the most oversold, overrated. Like it is no contest compared to a pub sub. Wawa is something you found on a bathroom floor.
I don't even know what this is. What is it? What is any of this?
You don't have Wawa in Utah?
No. What is it? A store?
I guess Wawa originated in the Northeast. Uh-huh. Wawa is a really, really nice gas station. Like, in the world of gas stations, Wawa is like, oh damn. Yeah. Like, you're on a long, it's like hour 8 of a road trip.
Yeah.
You're real happy to see Wawa. Like, oh, thank God it's this and not a 7-Eleven.
Okay.
Like, I love, is it Slurpee or Icy? I love Slurpee as much as the next person, but Wawa is a beautiful thing to see on a long road trip.
Icy's were at Circle K's, right? Wasn't that where the Icy was? Yeah.
We don't have
Circle K anymore, but I swear they had them. And now we have a place called...
Anyway.
I forgot.
So this is not a rapid fire answer. So Wawa was like this thing that only the Northeast had. It was like in Jersey and New York and in Florida, we have a ton of Northeast transplants. A lot of people either visit during the winter or retire here or whatever, or your second generation, like actually born here, but your family's all from the Northeast.
Yeah.
And Wawa just got talked up so much. And a few years ago, we finally got them. They're everywhere now in Florida.
Huh.
And everyone's like, oh, Wawa sandwiches, that's the best. And they're okay. They're good for a gas station sandwich, but they're not that good.
Sure.
Compared to a public sub, pub sub, which is the most like, it's a very Florida thing. Publix is our grocery store chain here.
Right.
Yeah.
I have been to a Publix before. Yeah, when I was in Mississippi, I went there.
They're god tier, Scott.
Really?
They're god tier sub sandwiches. They bake their own bread there, so their hoagies are like really good and chewy. They have a really satisfying outside crust.
Mm-hmm.
And you have your option of either Publix's deli meat, which is fine, or Boar's Head meat, which is the best deli meat on God's green earth.
I'm kind of hungry now. That's what you've done to me. Well, I have this bean and chicken thing I'm eating after the show.
Pub Sub puts Wawa in the grave.
Wow. That's fantastic. All right. Those are your questions. Do you have any for me today?
Yes, I do, Scott. Excellent. Sorry, you give me... Oh, dude, I love Pub Sub.
I got you excited. I know.
I'm on a Pub Sub now. Sure. Wawa did keep me fed while we were fixing up our house when we bought it, though, because it's the only thing open.
All right.
Jack writes in and says, if there was one zone you could pick to be brought back to its pre-cat estate, what would it be? And it can't be Thousand Needles.
Shit. I mean, that's my go-to. That's... Well, that's why he's answering the question. He wants to force me to say something other than Thousand Needles, because that's always my answer. Pre-cata? It's all green now. What did there used to be kind of wastelandy. What was it called?
Desolus?
Not Desolus.
Desolus green now?
No. What am I thinking of? Shoot, I cannot think of the freaking thing. Oh, Shimmering Flats. You know what? I like that answer. We're doing Shimmering Flats. Bring Shimmering that back.
But that's under the same water. But
it's still a zone.
Needles.
It's still a zone that isn't Thousand Needles. So it's like, right. It's basically the Great Salt Lake or the Great Salt Lake Flats is what they put out there. Because I live near that. And it very much reminded me of that when I would be in that zone. Bring that zone back. All that whole area. Take the water out. What the frick were you thinking? It's terrible. Stupid dragon. Anyway.
MTink97 wants to know if you could summon any mount from WoW to your side in real life. What would it be?
Any mount.
Any mount from World of Warcraft.
Okay, I know. The one that wouldn't get me arrested because it'd be too... You know, you can't have like a dragon or something. So I'd do the horde car that they made in that reality TV competition show thing. What's it called?
Oh, the motorcycle?
Yeah, but the one that's more like a trike. Like it's the horde one, which is like... two big wheels in the back. It's basically like an ATV kind of.
Oh, yeah. It has tank treads in the back.
Yeah, yeah. That one.
That was West Coast Choppers, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love that thing. That thing is rad. The Alliance one is a shit machine, and I would never want it. But the Horde one I still use. I love it. I love the chopper. That thing's badass. And I don't mean the old one. That old janky-looking, two-polygon-looking thing that came out in, like, BC. Not that. But the newer one they made during... Pandaria or whenever that was, where they worked with that biker show.
That's such a weird crossover.
I know, but I love that.
The real ones look cool, though. When they have them out at BlizzCon, it's like, ooh, this is kind of sick looking. I'm not a motorcycle guy, though.
But if I want to freak the neighbors out, what are those big Warlords of Draenor things that you'd go do the world fights for, the big looking monkey dudes?
Oh, the Grons.
Grons, yeah. I want that Grons mount. That one I waited all night for to get, and I finally got it. But I would ride that around town just to freak everybody out. Still looks good. That thing looks amazing. That's a cool mount. It's rad.
I would just take anything that flies because that just seems convenient to get the fly places.
Yeah. The robot one, then. I changed all my
mind. Anything that flies. I'm not good when pets pass away, so maybe an undead drake so it just, you know, never dies on me.
Yeah. Like the one you get off Ice Crown's pretty sexy. I'd fly that around.
Yep.
Blowing cold air out of it.
All right. Frolino or Froyino 95. Yeah. Two L's together. I don't know. It depends. Would you raid on Christmas if it meant 100% drop rate on your best in slot?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, duh. Are you kidding? Of course.
I think this was Wrath because it was senior year of college. I spent all Super Bowl Sunday just grinding ore because no one was in the game.
Wow. I mean, here's the
pick of the basin.
Here's the truth. Like, this upcoming Christmas Day, especially this year, because we don't have 50 people around, 100%. I'd turn to Kim. I'd see the announcement on my phone, and I'd look over to Kim and say, hey, look, there's this thing right now. Okay, we'll see you in a few hours. And I'd just go do it. Are you kidding me? That's the worst question ever, because of course the answer
is
yes.
I think I might be getting Cyberpunk for Christmas, so I think I might be messing with a wiener slider on Christmas Day. So it's a reason I haven't bought it yet.
You really need to, you know, you can give yourself a vagina as well if you want. You can totally do that. So you can start.
It's beginning to look a lot like crotch bulge everywhere I go.
Wow.
Matt writes in and says, Arthas / Lich King or Anakin / Vader? I'm not sure Matt knew this was a question for you, but choose nonetheless.
Yeah. Also, his point is there's similarities in these stories.
Glad you could make it, Uther.
I think I'm taking I'm taking the Arthas side of it. I like that better. Okay. I don't know. I love Star Wars too, though, so this is a hard call. Thankfully, we live in a world with both, but I think if I had to pick, I'd take Arthas and who was the other one? Not Uther. Uther. Yeah, Uther.
Arthas or Anakin.
Or Arthur. I'd take Arthas.
Lich King or Vader.
Yeah, Anakin sucks. Anakin sucks. He just sucks.
Anakin's great in the animated series.
Yes, he's good there.
The prequel films.
He's so bad in those things. Like, Jake Lloyd's all I can think of, and I don't want to think about him anymore. Poor kid.
So, are you an angel, Scott?
No, I was not.
Josh Daly wants to know, and this is a really important one, crunchy or smooth peanut butter?
Crunchy when possible, but I'll take smooth in a pinch. But crunchy if I can call it, yeah.
I am the other way around. I'm not strictly no crunchy, but like I would rather have smooth. I can rock crunchy.
You know what this is? That's Horde versus Alliance right there. That's freaking Night Elf versus Orc is what that is. Smooth, creamy, freaking Night Elves. And over here we got crunchy, hardcore Orcs.
I feel like Night Elf peanut butter definitely has some things that just kind of fell in it from the woods.
Yes, the ashes.
It's got
of your
some
people.
Rocks and some bark and some leaves in there. It ain't smooth.
Yeah, there you go.
It ain't smooth. You know, the smooth peanut butter is the blood elves. They have smooth peanut butter.
That's true, but it's full of mana. Yeah. If you're okay with that, then I guess go with that.
All right, Scott. Final question. Oh. At Jetter92 asks, and I promise this is not a joke, and I've selected it ahead of time.
All right.
If WoW had a wiener slider, where would Scott land?
All right, let's assume it has the same three-stage slider options as Cyberpunk has given us, okay? So, small, medium, large. Orcs, large. Blood Elves, small as you can go. Just tiny, tiny little micro. Just little teeny wieners. For humans, medium. And then there is no option for Taurens. They should have a much larger choice than what we give them.
You forgot gnomes. I believe they actually are a tripod. I think they might have a kickstand.
Oh, they called me that in high school. Anyway, great questions, everybody. Well done. We got them all. We did them all. And you guys are awesome. We'll do more of that next week when you send those in. For now, though, we have this to read.
Mr. Johnson, I have questions.
All right, Mr. Metzen, here's your answer. This is a question that came to us via email, theinstance@gmail.com. It's Brian from Denver, and I told him we were going to talk about this. So, Brian, if you're listening, I hope you are. Hi, Scott. You have often talked about roguelikes on your shows, and you have recently compared Torghast to the game style. I finally went to Wikipedia to look up what a roguelike is, since I had no clue as to what it was. I read through the entire list of games on there and have not heard of a single one of them. Well, clearly he has not been exposed to a roguelike. Now that I've been to Torghast, I find it most stressful, frustrating, and the most unfun thing to do in World of Warcraft. He says, well, PvP is worse, but only by a little bit. Since it's part of the Covenant campaigns and I can't ignore it entirely, how do I make the experience fun? Or is it like a doctor's visit where you just hope you can get it over quickly without taking it too far up the chute?
Wait, did they like it until they found out what the genre was, well, and now just having the information about what it is, they don't like it? Or,
I don't know.
Because the way this is structured, it almost sounds like that.
Yeah,
like,
it does
I was having
like
a great
that.
Time until I learned this is an entire genre of game, and now I hate it.
Yeah, it's like finding out that there was a little cat poo in the cake you ate, but you've already eaten it, so now you have to just think about what you ate. Yeah, I don't know.
Except it's like, you know, you've just found out that there's other cat poo in the world.
And there's
you're not mad that you ate it. You're mad that there's more of it. Yeah. I don't know. I'm very confused.
And there's more cake left and you can't progress without eating the cake. That's the better metaphor. He says, I know you get a million emails. So if you don't have a good answer for this one here, maybe it could be a topic on the Instance or Core. Well, it is. And I'm glad we brought it up. Brian from Denver. By the way, for those listening to TMS or other shows, that is not Brian Ibbett from Denver. It's a different Brian. So he likes Torghast just fine, but this guy does not like it. I don't know what to tell you. Like, if you've never played a roguelike, so you didn't come into it with some of those expectations, I could see how this thing might seem, I don't know if the word's odd, but just different to people. But I don't know why you're just outright disliking it. Maybe it's some of the stuff we talked about earlier. Maybe the length is hurting him. Lack of, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I was really not enjoying it. Like my first few goes. So I would say do just study up a little bit on your spec. You know, your spec might be like me, like Fury, trying to solo as a Fury warrior, I think kind of stinks and is just hard and arduous. And I would not recommend it. And the second I switched to Prot, I was like, this is great. It's
That seems so counterintuitive to me, because tanking normally in a solo situation is the least fun way to do anything. But what you're saying is that may or may not be true. And it depends. I guess it depends on your spec. Go to Icy Veins, look at some stuff, find out what your dude does best, and maybe you want to switch your specs up. I don't know.
Yeah, I have two pieces of advice, which one, consider changing up your spec. Like find out if it's good or not and then act accordingly, or go in with friends. Cause it's one of the most unique things about this as a roguelike is like a lot. I can't think of a roguelike off the top of my head that you can play co-op.
No,
this is World of Warcraft. You can party up.
Yeah.
Party up. I do think it is a better experience as a group.
I've not done it yet, so I need to experience that, I guess.
Yeah.
Cause I'm sure I know I'd like it, but
if only you had a platform where you could find people that play World of Warcraft to go into a tour guest with you.
I know. It's like going in blind. I don't have any connections. I can't do it. Yep. I'll see what I can arrange. It's not like we have the world's, I think we're still the biggest guild. I'm not actually sure now, but I think we are. It's not like I don't have those people either. So time to make it happen. All right. That's it for your emails. Thank you, Brian, for sending it. theinstance@gmail.com is again, that email address. So please keep them coming. Quick reminder, you can support us over at theinstance.net, and if you do, you get a bunch of bonus stuff, including art in the mail and some other things. And today, Garrett and I, after we hang up on the stream, are going to record a bonus show today, so you're going to get one today. Everybody who doesn't support us, they don't get it today. You have to wait a long time to get yours. But those of you who back us over there at theinstance.net as an Instance Plus member, you get it today on top of this episode right away. So maybe do that. Enjoy. Go check that out. Yeah, it'll be fantastic. Garrett, before we get out of here, anything going on in your world? I know there's a big Star Wars show coming up for you tonight. You want to mention that?
We're going to record two episodes tonight because there's just too much to talk about. Yeah, let's talk about Star Wars with Tom Merritt, Jenny Josephson, and myself is still recording until Mandalorian Season 2 is complete. And then it looks like we're just going to be recording until the day we die. Because there's a lot of Star Wars stuff coming. We might mention that on the bonus show you and I are about to go record. Mm-hmm. And then obviously a lot of other additional World of Warcraft coverage from me over on WoWKiller. Taliesin and myself talking about World of Warcraft for 90 minutes to 2 hours at a time. Usually roughly focused on one subject, but we still dance around a little bit.
Sometimes you veer.
Yeah, it's pretty different from the Instance, though.
Yeah, so. Which is nice. It feels like a nice complimentary piece of content, so I would recommend it, folks. And, of course, everything else you got going on over at amove.tv. Plenty of shows, lots of streams, lots of good times. Enjoy. For us and for ours, make sure you check us out over at theinstance.net. Oh, yeah, that's right. Everything's there. All our links, all our stuff. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Scott Johnson. He's at Garrett Art. You can find Patrick, who's not here today, but usually here. You can find him at Not Patrick and more shows like this at frogpants.com. In particular, I'd point people toward Core. Core had a really great long discussion about all things cyberpunk this week, as well as a pretty deep discussion about what we think of Torghast over there. You might be surprised at some of the opinions from my co-host John Jagger on that front. So go check those out. That's going to do it for us, for me and for Garrett, and for the never sure if he's going to be here, Patrick. We'll see you next time. Maybe. Whoops, that ended too soon.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.
Well done. Yeah, Zach, the CTR is pretty big. They came from us, though. They're technically volume-wise smaller, and we have a bunch of their members in our guild, so I'm not sure that one's comparable, but I haven't heard of Taint as the Taint. Is that what it's called? It's a mega guild on Proudmoore. I've never heard of them. He says they have a lot.